on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast as we continue through here and wrap up the month of March. Hard to believe, but when you think about it right now, college athletics has just a couple of months left for most of them, right? You get through the month of April, you've got conference tournaments, conference events in early, maybe mid-May, and then you got track nationals towards the end of May, and obviously if baseball continues, then they keep on rolling. But the conference tournaments for baseball a lot of times are at the end of May, Memorial Day weekend. So college athletics coming to a close for another year, but we do have a month left to enjoy it, so let's try to do that as best we can. You know, every podcast episode, I try to give you all of the events coming up for USD athletics at the very end of the podcast. And I'll just tell you right now, I'm going to keep reminding you this time of year that everything I say about events that might be happening, they are determined by the weather, because you never know when the rain's coming. You don't know when the snow's coming. You don't know when the cold temperatures are coming. But nonetheless, should be, you know, we'll keep you updated, and we'll see how things play out for all of that. Well, in the show today, we're going to talk a little football, because the football team not only had some guys at Pro Day, but they also obviously are into spring football, which is always exciting this time of year. It all culminates with the spring football game, wraps up here, the spring practices wraps up here in a few weeks, so football will be at it here in the spring as well. The South Dakota hosted the Pro Day and had a handful of athletes, not only from South Dakota, but some other area colleges were there. There were NFL and CFL scouts that were in attendance at the Dakota Dome. You had guys like, obviously, Miles Harden. He didn't do everything, but did some of the stuff, because obviously he went to the combine. Then you have other guys who are just trying to show something and make it, like Micah Roan and Caden Pleaser, who was here for a year, Jonathan Jonas, Brock Mogensen, Stephen Hillis, Isaac Urbis, and Brendan Webb, all competing for an opportunity. Now, if you compete in a pro day, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're competing for draft positioning, because, you know, not everybody's going to get drafted. But what you're trying to show is that you have the ability, and you just need a chance. So a lot of these guys, the reason they're competing in this is they're trying to get themselves into a spot where they'll be an undrafted free agent. They'll get to go to a rookie minicamp and see if they can make it there. And who knows? You know, obviously the Canadian Football League gives some opportunities for American players, and so maybe that's an opportunity, which obviously we've seen guys go to from USD and have success. So we'll see what happens. But if you didn't check out those results, you can do that at goyotes.com. You can see each one of them, their bench, their 40-yard dash, vertical, broad jump, 20-yard shuffle, all of that stuff available, all the results at goyotes.com. So check it out, and hopefully we'll see a handful of these guys get opportunities. You know, even if it's not drafted, get opportunities to go to a rookie minicamp and show what they can do. And that's what these guys are asking for, right? Everybody would love to get drafted, but all you're asking for is a chance and an opportunity. South Dakota women's golf team got done in Branson, Missouri this past week. It was supposed to be a three-day, three-round event. It ended up a two-day event because of weather. They were going to still try to make it three rounds over 2 days, but unfortunately, kind of some chilly days involved with that. And the Coyote women's golf team hit a record this week, a 2 over 290 for a program record. It's a program record for low single day performance as a team. So really, really cool. Obviously, the team had success. They finished in third place out of 13 teams in that event. Hosted by Missouri State, I should say, but a really, really great team effort. The Coyotes saw four golfers finish with a score of 2 over par or better on the day, including Katie Nicola, Alexa Wingnan, Laura Gehring, and Emma Henningsen, all at +2 or better for the final round. And, you know, they really had a lot of success. When you look at where they went from round one to round two, it was a 33-stroke improvement. So, obviously, that first day, really, really windy, really, really cold. But they hung in there and had success. So, women's golf, obviously, getting through it. And we'll see where they can go next and what they can do. They were hanging in there right with all the teams, and now we'll see what they do. They got third place as a team. Very, very cool. Obviously, a team that we've seen recently have some success. Now, their season is wrapping up very, very quickly. Their next event is Stampede at the Creek. That is in Omaha, Nebraska. It is set for Monday, April 8th and Tuesday, April 9th. And then after that, it's the Summit League Championships down in Kansas. That'll start April 21st for golf. They'll go Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday for the Summit League Championships for golf. And that's kind of how things lay out there. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But obviously, we'll be checking in on golf results here over the next few weeks to see how things play out for South Dakota. All right, this week on the Yotecast podcast, I had a chance to catch up with one of the newest members of the football coaching staff. His name is Matt Witztham, and he is in his first season, just been around Vermilion for a few weeks' time now. He is the wide receivers coach at South Dakota. Matt, first off, welcome to South Dakota. Spring ball is getting underway. I'm sure you're getting excited to get back at it.
Yeah, excited to be here. Exciting time of the year, obviously, to get out and play some football and build our team. So, yeah, really excited about the future and excited to be here.
What has the transition been like for you moving from obviously Michigan to here and trying to hit the ground running and get to know a lot of people really quickly?
It's gone good. I'm originally from Algona, Iowa, so not too far away from here. So familiar, grew up watching, you know, Missouri Valley football. Played in a state championship at the Uni Dome and at UNI, so have seen the league, have been familiar with the league, really excited to be in the league now. And the transition's gone good. You know, Coach Nielsen is obviously world-class coach. He's been great. Coach Davis has made me feel as welcome as possible, and have really just kind of spent the first month here just diving into the offense and learning about our guys and just kind of emerging myself in South Dakota football. So it's been a good start.
Allendale, Michigan, not huge, but bigger than Vermilion, and also just a stone's throw away from Grand Rapids, which obviously is very large. So I know you've only been here a short time, but how do you adjust to our little town in Vermilion after coming from that?
Accurate, yeah. I've spent the last 10 years in definitely a bigger, I guess if you say, city. But again, I'll go back to my roots. I'm from Algona, Iowa. We have a McDonald's, Subway, and a church in Algona, Iowa. So it feels a lot more like home than you probably think, even though my last stop wasn't this small. But, yeah, it's been great. I'm a pretty simple human being. I'm not very lavish, so go out to eat every now and then and play a little golf. That's about all I do. So it feels great, and Vermilion's been great to me so far. So far, so good.
What have the last few weeks been like for you? You talked about getting to know the guys a little bit, and I know they were in winter workouts, and then they get spring break, and now you're getting ready for spring ball. This all has to come together relatively quickly so that you're up to speed for spring ball and can help things move forward. What has been the big focus for you?
I think for me, you know, the hardest thing to do is when you're new is to quickly build trust. Trust is, you know, obviously earned, and you can't do that overnight. So really just trying to dive in and get to know the guys. Football's football. I love football, and I love the X's and O's. So I've learned that, and I feel pretty comfortable with that. And, again, Josh has been great, and you know that we do a lot of really good things here. So that's become pretty easy or naturally to me. But, again, just trying to spend as much time as I can with the wide receivers and just trying to get to know them individually, their background, what makes them tick. So that's really what the focus has been. I'm a relationship-based coach, and I think those guys really appreciate that. But relationships take time. So just trying to utilize every second of the day to get to know guys, and it's been great so far.
You know, it's amazing how many people, whether it's student-athletes, coaches, whatever, and you're talking about different levels. You know, some of these guys transfer from a different level, or coaches come from a different level.
Everybody has the same message. Football is football. It doesn't matter if it's a different level. Maybe it's faster. Maybe things are done a little bit differently. But at the end of the day, core football values are the same.
Absolutely. I mean, I simplified it as block, tackle, catch, you know, be physical. Like, I mean, you know all the buzzwords. So that's not revolutionary. I truly believe what makes teams special are the people in the building. So, again, that's where the focus has been, is just trying to get to know the people. And, again, I'm sure they're trying to get to know me as well, just as much as I'm trying to get to know them.
You spent a decade at Grand Valley State. You had multiple roles throughout or within their program. What did you like about Grand Valley State?
Oh man, Grand Valley is it's a really special place. It's tucked in on the west side of Michigan, so it's a really, really beautiful part of the country right there on Lake Michigan. But you know, Grand Valley is it's a bigger university that has a smaller school feel. You know, there's 20,000 students, but it doesn't feel like that. I loved the people at Grand Valley. Just very down to earth, hardworking, blue collar people. It was a really, really tough place to leave. Obviously, when you win a ton of games, that helps. But just the people and the dedication and the commitment to football was just unmatched. And obviously, some of the tradition that's gone through there, the Brian Kellys, the Chuck Martins, and some coaches that have had a really, really long line of success there. The head coach I worked for, Matt Mitchell, is now at the University of Wisconsin. So it was really good to get to know some of those people and built a lot of connections and kind of that bloodline that goes through there. So it was really, really special place.
Now an opportunity for you at the Division I level. Was that always kind of your goal, or is this something that takes the right opportunity to pull you away that you from a place you spent so long at?
Yeah, was never really looking to leave Grand Valley. Very, very pleased. I was raised, like I said, and my father always taught me, 10 toes down, just be where you're at. Wasn't looking to leave. Got a phone call from Coach Davis. I actually know Coach Morrison, the tight ends coach here. I played for him at Wartburg, so that's kind of a connection that I had here. But yeah, just started to kind of get to know some people here. Had a conversation with Coach Nielsen from afar. Have had just an absolutely tremendous amount of respect for Coach Nielsen and what he's done, and wherever he's been, it feels like it's been winning. Just class all the way around. So got to know some people here, more and more conversations. Being a couple hours away from my mom and dad as they get a little bit older. Some of these things just kind of started to snowball. But then when I finally kind of got to be here and meet some people, it was like, yeah, this is the time. This is the place that it's time to go. So really excited to be in the Missouri Valley, to be at a place like this. And, obviously we're coming off a really special year here. Excited to try to build on that next season.
It's always the question, what actually pulls you to South Dakota? And you talked about a lot of those things, but sometimes you just got to go there and it's got to be a feeling.
It does, yeah. And you wish you could say at the beginning of it, like, hey, this is just right away, this is what's going to make me choose, going to South Dakota. But like I said, just a combination of things. But have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Davis. He's called plays at a high level, and just I really felt like I could come here, learn and grow and kind of take that next step in my career professionally. Excited. It's been great so far.
I know you mentioned Wartburg College. I don't know if I ever imagined Wartburg College would be a pipeline to South Dakota, but it kind of working that way.
Yeah, it's a small place, but yeah, we have a pretty good tradition of people that have gotten into coaching, and there's a lot of us out there. I feel like every staff I've been on, there's been a Wartburg connection. So yeah, Coach Nielsen, he loves Wartburg. So we've had a lot of talks about this guy and that guy that have played there. So it's been good. There's a good little tradition going there.
You get spring ball underway, and obviously it's a few practices kind of squashed into a period of time, and then you get the spring game to kind of wrap things up. What has to be the focus in spring football?
I think just, one, just your individual development. The beautiful part about spring is we aren't preparing to play a game. We're not going to win or lose a game in the next 5 weeks. So just trying to have guys individually learn and grow and kind of master the offense and master their craft. We're not working through a game plan process. We're not worried about the defense. We're all worried about us. our scheme, our technique, our fundamentals. So just the overall focus is just to try to, you know, improve yourself and master, you know, your craft and master the offense. And we're building towards winning a championship. And Coach Nielsen's talked about we're kind of in a four-week window right here. This is kind of our next step in the phase to build, to win a championship, to win the Missouri Valley, to win a national champ. You know, that's this step right now, is these 4 weeks. So just the focus on mastering your craft, mastering the offense. So when we go into summer, we're clicking, and then we hit fall camp. You know, nobody's doing a lot of thinking, and we're just playing fast and physical.
It's no secret the University of South Dakota is coming off of its best season at the Division I level. Obviously, you're brought in to kind of help guide this thing. How can you help take this program to that next, you know, kind of leap forward?
Yeah, I'm excited because I think the wide receiver room has a very dynamic group of individuals that did a nice job last year, but I think we can do a lot more to help our offense become the offense that we want to become. And a lot of people think that may be right away scoring touchdowns or whatever. I just think we can do an overall better job in the run game. We can make some more plays in the pass game, but just trying to have the receiver room, you know, do everything we can to help our offense, you know, go to that next level. And whatever they need, whether that's blocking, whether that's catching balls, whether that's clearing a guy out in a route concept, we're going to do that. We're going to do it at a high level. And that in turn should make our offense a lot better. So we're focused on that. And I think if we can take a big step in the receiver room, I think it'll propel our offense to take a big step as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you looked at last season's stats, and it jumps out that really three guys were the targets most of the year, and it worked for South Dakota, but it can always be better if you get more guys involved. How do you get those guys ready to be that playmaker, number one, and the quarterback comfortable with multiple guys?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, the thing I think people, for, you know, it's Coach Davis's first year with this group last year. So not just quarterback, receiver, I think it's just collectively as an offense, people becoming more comfortable within the scheme, within what we're trying to do offensively. I think you'll see a big jump with that with a lot of guys on offense of just being year two in the offense. From experience, I felt like when I call plays, that from year one to year two was a huge, huge leap, because the guys, you know, that are executing the offense believe in it and have done it and are a little bit more comfortable doing it. And then, yeah, like you said, just, you know, trying to develop more guys to get comfortable with Aiden and all of the quarterbacks. And that's what, again, like we talked about spring, that's what's so great about spring, is that's what we're focused on, is building that chemistry, whether that's the Carter Bells or the Jack Martins or some young guys that you may never have heard of yet. We're trying to do that from top to bottom to become, you know, a really deep room, a really dynamic room, and that's what we're focused on right now.
As you look at the wide receiver room, and obviously you've watched some film on these guys and you've met with them a little bit and some of that, like, what do you really see out of this group that you like, that you think can be a really good thing come next fall?
I think the thing that I've loved so far is just the amount of different players that we do have. You know, we don't have all of the same player. I always say a good receiver room is a lot like a basketball starting five. You know, you may have the leading scorer that you go to in crunch time, but you need all of the other four guys to be great. I believe that in a receiver room, and I think we have those pieces. You know, we have the bigger guys, we have the shorter guys, we have the dirty work guys in there. So again, right now we're just trying to develop those roles and trying to find out who we are. But I really like the dynamic that we have in there and the diversity that we have in there right now.
What are the important philosophies, like, for you to be able to instill in this wide receiver room to make it good?
This isn't coach speak, but I think the number one thing, and I'm a quarterback by nature. I played quarterback, but I've been around a lot of really good receiver rooms, is I really believe that at the core right now, something we've talked a lot about is being a great teammate. You know, in the receiver room, a lot of what you see is me, me, me. I want my touches. I want my touchdowns. We're really trying to come together, and the guys are really craving that, to be a great cohesive unit. When one guy makes a play, we're going to be just as excited as if it were us. And we're going to push each other and we're going to be competitive, but we're going to be there for each other and have each other's back. And I think those guys are really excited about that. It's not a me room, it's a we room. And, you know, we're going to pursue and push forward like that.
One of the plays in football that can be one of the most overlooked, in my opinion, but can spring so many gigantic plays, is a good block from a wide receiver.
Yeah, it may not be what they want to talk about, but it is something that needs to be talked about. I firmly believe and on board with Coach Dave, you know, we are going to run the football, I think, in this conference and in any conference, but this one especially, you have to have the ability to run the football. And it's not easy. This league is tough. But our goal is, hey, when the hard work and the dirty work is done up front, that those guys aren't touched in the back end because we're on guys and we're sticky and we're doing the things that we need to do to spring guys from a 7 or 8 yard run to a big, big time run. So it's a focus going into spring. Like I said, it's not what they want to hear at times, but we're pushing that forward, I can tell you that.
You know, you obviously talked about Coach Davis a couple of times, and he'll be entering year two as the offensive coordinator. I think he had to learn some things in year number one. What's your feeling on Coach Davis and what he's been able to take from last year that gets you excited about this offense for next year?
For me, I think, you know, just even in the month I've been here, just crazy, crazy impressed with Coach Davis's football knowledge. I say it all the time. People have asked me about him. He's wicked smart. He knows the game inside and out. Obviously, he's played it at a really high level in this league. I think what's happening with him, and, you know, he's been surrounded now by some people and some other coaches that he trusts, and we've really firmly come up with an identity here. And I think your identity, sometimes you have an idea what you want it to be when you go somewhere, but it truly takes you to see guys, to play the game, for you to call the game, okay, this is really who we are. And I think the thing I've admired about him, he's really adjusted to what we have here, our players, and how we want to win games here. And I'm really excited to be a part of it and to watch Coach Davis grow in his second year here. Like I said, have been nothing but impressed, and I've learned a ton. You know, I've called plays for 5 or 6 years, and I'm already excited. Like, I would do that again. I would do that again. So, yeah, he's taught me a lot in just a short time.
He seems open-minded. You've called plays. Other guys, like on the staff, have called plays. Are you a constant play drawer upper, trying to, you know, shove the little piece of paper over saying, what do you think about this one?
Not yet. That may happen down the road, but to start with here initially, really just trying to embrace my role and be the best assistant I can for him. And right away, I think the thing he needs is a guy that's going to get the receivers playing at a really high level, a coach that he can trust. And I think the way to do that is just be a little bit more narrow focused. But yeah, there's some times I've gone back to my office and drawn a few things up, but they haven't made his way to his desk, but eventually they will here soon, I'm sure.
Well, Coach Davis knows a little bit about playing wide receiver. He was all right in his own right.
Yeah, I have felt that a little bit too. I've said some things and he quickly puts his in his opinion, but that's one of the things I've loved here is there isn't a ton of ego on the coaching staff. A lot of guys that are willing to share ideas, but more importantly, listen to ideas and then, you know, kind of come up with the best solution and then move forward as a group and collectively. So it's been good. Like I said, I know he has a soft spot for the receiver, so I got to be on my P's and Q's for sure.
You know, throughout this conversation, you seem genuinely excited about being here and working with this group, not only the receivers, but the coaches. That seems like a really good thing.
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited. Like I said, loved where I was at. Accomplished a tremendous amount there, but you know, there's something too, you hear it all the time about getting uncomfortable. It certainly has been uncomfortable here to start. My family isn't here, but just really, really excited about this opportunity. Could not be more, and hopefully, yeah, see a great brand of football from the receivers coming up.
You'll be excited to get your family here in a few months.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I have two kids. My son Hayden is the biggest football fan out there, and he was excited when I got moved to receivers. He's a big Justin Jefferson fan, so he thinks we're going to develop one of those here. So I said, we'll see, buddy.
Just as well as trying.
Yeah, right? Dang right.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time, again, welcome to South Dakota, and enjoy spring ball. I know it's an important time for the football program, and I know it's an exciting time as well. Fans get to think about football again right after the big basketball tournament going on, so they'll be excited for that. But appreciate the time, and good luck in spring ball.
Yeah, thanks so much. Excited to be here. Good to meet you. And, yeah, let's have some fun moving forward.
That is Matt Vitstam. He is the new wide receivers coach for Coyote football. You could just tell his excitement to be a part of the program and to work with these wide receivers. And so we're really excited to have him. South Dakota recently announced that Nathan Nelson will be the defensive line coach. So I'm hoping that we get a chance to have a conversation with him. And maybe Kenneth Blauser moving from a player to quality control coach. So it'd be interesting to talk to him as well about that opportunity and that situation. But obviously some good things going on with Coyote football and head football coach Bob Nielsen. Team coming off of a great, great year last year, and hoping to build off of that and maybe take another step forward this upcoming season. And you know, you got spring football right now, and I know people get excited about that, and it's great. Get people excited about spring football. You have the spring game, and then we'll kind of go into, summer break. But the countdown will start for August 29th. That's a Thursday when the Coyotes play host to Northern State on Thursday, August 29th, to open up the football season. All right, that is Matt Vitstam. Big thanks to him for taking some time to join us here on the Yotecast podcast. And now let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote athletics this week. And again, I remind you, all of this is weather dependent. I can tell you everything going on, but I can't tell you where they changes may or may not happen. Track and field is currently competing in Texas. There's a couple of different meets going on. There's some athletes at the Bobcat Invitational in San Marcos, Texas. Others are at the Clyde Littlefield, Texas Relays in Austin, and those events going through the weekend, so we'll keep an eye on that. Softball scheduled to play at Kansas City on Friday, a noon start time for game one of the doubleheader. And then, of course, women's basketball has continued its season. They will play in the WNIT 7:30 Central time on Friday night at the University of Wyoming. The winner will play either Minnesota or North Dakota State in the next round. So hopefully the Coyotes can keep it rolling. It's been fun to see them have this success in postseason play. Softball wraps up their series at Kansas City on Saturday. And then no events for Coyote Athletics scheduled for Sunday, but you've got golf back in action and tennis back in action as well on Monday. And men's golf will be at the Chambers Bay SU Invitational in Chambers Bay, at Chambers Bay in University Park, Washington. So that'll be Monday and Tuesday for the golf. Women's tennis is scheduled to play at St. Thomas on Monday with a noon start time. So that's what we've got going on here over the weekend and into early next week. Again, for potential weather changes and schedule updates, all that stuff, check out goyotes.com. That's going to do it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. And as always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.